Good morning, my friends. You know, this is easier because you're all my friends. Well, I'm really thankful to be here today. Desire your prayers. I have a little thought I'd like the Lord to bless it, to get it out the way I'm feeling it. And at the end, I think of this message this morning kind of like some of the things I've dealt with in my life. I used to be in surveying, and occasionally a transit would need to be recalibrated. You start getting wrong measurements on the, it's kind of an infrared, but it shoots through a prism and back, and sometimes you start getting, you'd have to recalibrate that. And I feel like sometimes that we live life, and it's not the wrongs necessarily to get us, but we live life, and we get sidetracked in our minds with different things and different opinions. And anyway, it kind of seems like that we get way spread out like this. And, you know, especially on election years and stuff, if you have any involvement in it, you can start thinking outside of the bounds. I hope I can say this plain enough, but you can start thinking outside of the bounds of a good, tight, what the Lord would have you do. You can start thinking about things that you might want to happen to people that maybe the Lord wouldn't want to happen to them. But you can think, I guess, and I'm feeling like today that I'm talking about bringing it back down into a tight, calibrate ourselves back down into a tight idea. And you can think about the families doing this, and not the wrongs of life, but just that you think this and this, and this problem comes up, and this person hurt this person, and this happened to here, and I deal with all of that in my mind, and the humanity of me has this, and it gets me spread out sometimes, and that's kind of what I'm thinking about today. So by the help of the Lord, I'd like to kind of bring our mind and our focus back into a tighter and a challenge to what maybe the Lord would have us to think. In the in our society, our world, at least up to my life now, there has been a certain honor given to people that would enlist into the armed forces willingly or by choice, but they would give themselves to a cause that was bigger than them. And they make an oath to that, and they know what it means. And although history of our country, that's been honored, and it is honorable. It's honorable to give yourself to something that's bigger than you. And it was men that stepped up in causes and said the world, evil needs to be stopped, and this needs to be changed. And by giving themselves to it, they knew that there was a possibility that they would lay their life down. As Abraham Lincoln famously said, they give their last measure of devotion. This is the best. This is all that I can do. And when a man would do that, he would realize that there may be come a time that he would be a part of a regiment that would be sent in almost as a sacrifice. They knew they wouldn't make it out, but the cause would win, and they would give themselves to that. And we honor that. And I say that it is somewhat honorable. I look at it, but in a way, I almost say it's foolish too. Because when you start talking about eternity and you only get one life, that kind of makes me to think about things. But I do appreciate those that have done that, don't get me wrong. But to look at that and say to give your life, there must be a bigger cause than that. And there is a bigger cause, and a cause worth giving ourselves totally to that, to give our life to that, and to know that it's worth doing that too. And Jesus came, and he's our great example. He's the one that we worship. He's the one that we want to be like. He's the one that means the most. I mean, and so he set a standard of this, and he came to earth for it. He had a mission, and his mission wasn't to make himself rich in this world or anything in this world. He came to give himself to a cause. There was a cause of humanity, a cause for eternity. There was a cause that he gave himself to, and he kept himself calibrated in the mission that he had. He was challenged by temptation. He was challenged by humanity. He was challenged by his own death, and yet he kept himself calibrated down to the fact that I have a mission that I'm, and the goal to fulfill that mission is what I want to obtain. That's what I've got to do. And Jesus came with a mission, a pure mission. He gave himself to that. And I want to challenge us today, because I think it's the highest thing that we can do is to give ourselves to a cause that's bigger than we are. You have to realize the cause is bigger than me. I have to realize that. The only way I can be successful in this is to realize that the cause is bigger than me. And I may be called to, in my part of this cause, I may be called to something that isn't really that appealing to me. I may be called to something, and I can prove this by the scriptures, that faithful men of God were called to things for the mission of God that was not pleasant to their human lives. But they looked at it as a cause that was bigger than they were. To call on someone to go into a situation as Stephen did, he was called to preach the gospel. He was called at that time to spread the gospel. He was called as a martyr to the cause. God was going to use this to save the multitudes, but it was so unpleasant. But he gave. It's honorable what he did. He was so calibrated. He was so focused on a cause that was bigger than he is. Folks, the cause is bigger than we are. It's so much bigger. And we can get so sidetracked sometimes from that idea of that Jesus came to save. Jesus come to save. And sometimes I can allow the human relationship thing to have, and all of a sudden I'm not concerned about that person. I need to be calibrated again. That no matter what it is, that's the mission. The mission isn't for me to be in a constant war with my wife over things. The mission is that I help my wife get to heaven. I want her to go. And sometimes we lose the focus right in our own congregations because of these things, and we lose that. And so, what is the mission here? That they go to heaven, that they can be saved. I don't want to be the one, because this is the bottom line of it. It isn't just the physical things that you can cause somebody to lose when you hurt them or harm them or do an injustice to them. It's the fact that you think they may lose their soul over it. Do you know you just hindered someone that temptation might be the thing that breaks them instead of helping them? We're supposed to have a mission like Jesus had. So I want to start with a very familiar John 3. I'll read a little bit of this. It's a little bit of reading, but it's a good one of my favorites. The story of Nicodemus. There was a man, John 3, of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye have received not our witness. If I have told ye of earthly things, and ye believe me not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I got a mission. God sent his Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him can be saved. Here's the mission, the grand mission. The focus that we should have in life, whether someone's good, bad, indifferent, whether this is going this way, this way, this was the mission that he had. He looked and saw the whole world and its evils and its drunkenness and its and the things that they was doing, and he excluded no one.
Right.
And he focused himself down to this particular mission that he would come into this. And then he says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So here was the very focused mission of the Lord. What's our mission? Is there a cause bigger than me? What's really underlying my mission? And how do I do it? He said here, I come not to condemn the world. Then do I have any right to? Should I? Should my mission in any way be condemning anything? What should my mission be if the Lord said, I come not to condemn the world, but I come that they might be saved? So if I get off of the condemning business and get onto the salvation business, get onto the mission of the thing, this is what the mission is, and then I begin to look at things a little differently. So I'm going to challenge us a little bit today with some things that we don't naturally want to think. But it's being calibrated to what the Lord wants. Lord's come for salvation. You remember the story of the hiding place. It was a very challenging moment, if anybody knows the story. But in the story, it took place in the time of World War II, and the Ten Boom family ended up helping some Jews, and they got put into the concentration camps and whatever. But the whole idea was that there was a statement where, I think it was her name, Elizabeth, I think. Was that? Anyway, she was kind of more spiritual than Corey, and she ends up saying in there, he said, you know, after this thing's over, I got a vision. After this thing's over, I think we ought to make an effort to help these people. And Corey said, that's just wonderful. Been so many people hurt, so many people that was abused, so many people that was doing it. It'd be wonderful to do that for these people. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about for the soldiers. They're the ones doing it, abusing. No. Do you know how much help they're going to need? Do you know what they've done to themselves by this evil? She was calibrated to the mission of God. She was calibrated. She wasn't not loving these ones, but she saw beyond. She saw the mission of the Lord. The Lord said, I didn't come to condemn them, no matter what. That's not what I come to do. I come that they might be saved. Salvation was the mission to which God had come for, and what he wanted us to get a hold of here too. This is our mission. Our mission is to reach out the gospel without prejudice. Without prejudice. We're all sinners. Been sinners. God makes a way that we don't have to do that anymore. And so here's one of the great lessons. I remember talking to somebody and they told me this story. And I hope nobody's offended by a story like this, but it's happened. Somebody was telling me one time about disappointed by Monarch. They take somebody out of the world that wasn't dressed just right, and she was a young girl, whatever, and they went to Monarch, and they immediately get to Monarch, and people start saying, you shouldn't do it. And it really discouraged this person from the world that was looking for help and took him there. And was making a big deal. And I said, I understand that, totally. I wouldn't want to be guilty of that because Jesus died for them. But I said, what's your feelings towards the ones that done it? Now come on, let's not be having an agenda here towards one thing or another. Because I looked at that, I said, Lord help that young person that got into that thing, but help the one that said that because they're in danger. That's an awful thing. God doesn't approve of it. That's an awful thing to be like, no, why do I have to bring it down to like that? That's not the mission. If you understand my heart today, the mission that we have is not to condemn. It's to save. It's to minister and save and show the love of God. And you can't rub your bad off on me. You can't rub it off on me when I'm living for the Lord and doing the right thing. So I can handle those moments, but the mission. Oh, I think it's so much about the mission, the desire that the Lord wants us to have and to focus it down and down. And if I get involved in politics and all this and all of these things, then I become way out here and I start getting hard feelings about this side and this side and this side. And all of a sudden, I ain't even thinking favorably of their salvation. Well, that's not the mission. The way to change everything is through salvation. God came to make a difference in people's lives. Not from the exterior idea, but He came to change the hearts. I don't think anybody's bad for going out having a sign saying anti-abortion that you want people to live or anything like that. I just say it ain't as fruitful. It's not that fruitful. So if they didn't do that, whatever other sin is going to take them to hell? No, but if you can get them changed from the inside, they don't want to do it. They want to do what, and this is our mission. The mission isn't an exterior. Let me get onto an exterior cause other than God's salvation. I don't need to have an exterior. This one does it all. This takes care of all of it. And if we're not careful with the way we approaching it and the vision that we have for this, we lose the concept sometimes and it becomes an aggravation or a friction even among the brethren and all this, and we lose the idea that my goal and purpose is to get my brother to heaven. Lord bless you, Brother Ivan. I'm with you. I'm going to go with you all the way. And if there is a fault in something, go to them with the most meekness and humbleness you know, considering yourself that there's a mission. And I've got to come out of this without hard feelings. I got to come out of this without wounds, without hurts, or anything that would hurt my relationship with the Lord. I got to come out of it too. I've got to come out of it still feeling right about the one. I got to do it. And that's the mission that God wants us to have. And I'm thinking of a scripture over in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter. Obviously, there's a contention here in Corinthians. 6th chapter, 1 Corinthians, first verse. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Now, I want you to pick up Paul's heart here, what he's thinking about. Because Paul's got in his mind the furtherance of the gospel. He's thinking about being able to relate, and for I know in my life when I've had times in my life that I felt like I didn't really perform like I should have performed somewhere along the line, many times my prayer was, Lord, don't help this not to hurt the cause. I'll take the blame. But Lord, help this not to hurt the cause, because I've made proclamations and I've said things and maybe that wasn't exactly the way I should have stepped up to it. Lord, help this not to be a damage to anybody or the cause of God. Paul has this desire. He was one of those soldiers that had himself focused down on that the cause is bigger than I am. And I want to say here today, the cause is bigger than me too. And I, unless the Lord comes back or rolls this thing up, you'll bury Brother Marty someday and the cause will go on. I'm not that instrumental in it, folks. It's not that the cause, and I want my children and grandchildren, I want them to follow and have the same hope that I've got. Lord, help us. We're bearers of it now. And Paul says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertain to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between these brethren. But brethren goeth the law with brethren, and that before the unbeliever. Listen to Paul's heart here. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to the law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Now this is Paul's heart. It's obvious that you're not calibrated. It's obviously that you've allowed these parts of your humanity to get spread way out, and you're not calibrated. You're not focused down to what you should be focused on, because if you was focused on what you should be focused on, you would have took the fault rather than have brought any shame to God's cause. You would not want ever to bring shame to the Lord's cause. You would suffer whatever you had to suffer for the cause of the Lord, because it's mightier and greater, and it's what's going to bring salvation. That's what my point is. I not to be having an agenda driven to one side or the other, but that all might be saved. Everybody might be saved. It spreads out through all of our life. All of our life, and the world can distort this in trying to teach us, the saints, what morality is. And it can say, you should stand here for this, or you should stand here for this. We stand for the salvation of everybody. That's right. We stand for the cause of God for everybody. I think that the history of slavery and of our brothers, I think that all is a horrible thing. But the slave owners would go to hell if they keep doing bad. Do you understand that Jesus come to save everybody? And our mission isn't to get diverted into this one or this one. No, my mission is to keep myself focused to where I should be focused at. The mission of bringing the gospel to everybody without bias or without being partial to anything. He said, why would you not? I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between brother. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. Now therefore there's utterly a fault among you, because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? And we can do it with the spirit of grace and of glory upon us, because they done it to the Lord. They called him Beelzebub. They called him evil. And yet I can get to be partaker of that. Why wouldn't I just allow myself to be defrauded for a cause like this? And that was the apostle's heart, that he was trying to get to us, that we would be willing to take on the cause that's bigger than we are. And the mission that was right now, there's this in the so-called Christian world. I don't know how better to say it, but in the Christian world, there's a combating at one another, and this and all this. And my mind goes to the whole thing that you're sure making the Christian life look ugly. You're sure making it look snapping and all. It isn't very pretty. It isn't very winning to the world to say, look at how they love one another. I mean, wasn't that the all men would know, because they have love one to another? Isn't that the mission? Can I is it possible for me, by the grace of God, to allow you to defraud me for the cause? Maybe I sign up. Maybe I sign up as to be a Christian. Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you. And one of the things that's in my course is somebody defrauding me for the cause of God. Well, there's a cause bigger than me, so Lord, lead on. Do you realize what Joseph had to go through to fulfill what the Lord had? He was signed up, though, and it seemed like the scriptures keeps him pretty calibrated, pretty tight. He had his focus in the right place. Because I'm going to tell you, he could have put, and he was empowered to do it too, he could have put a lot of hurt on his brothers as a revenge. He could have done all that. But no, he was focused in that God had a purpose and a cause that was going to use him because he gave himself to him. Lord, I'm yours. I'm calibrated. You can use me to any purpose you want to. And he done exactly what he wanted him to do. And he was successful in that, and he didn't divert from that. And so the plan of the nation, the Hebrew nation, to come down there and grow into millions was fulfilled because Joseph had given himself to a cause that was bigger than he was. He didn't revert to the things that we are commonly want to revert to and get my way and do all those things. And there's a reason why parents shouldn't provoke your children. Because there's a cause bigger than we are. I mean, you want them to grow up with honor to God. There's a reason why we don't do it. I mean, because it's an eternal purpose here. And he teaches, this is the desire of the Lord come to the mission. So there was a scripture, maybe this one's in Luke 9. You remember this story, I'll go to 51, Luke 9 and 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that they should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, they didn't receive him. So the disciples, thinking like they were in at the time, they hadn't been drawn in. They hadn't been calibrated, not near yet. And they were wide thinking about this and coming up with the solutions and what would be the best way to go forward with these kind of things. So they asked the Lord. After they wouldn't receive him, James and John saw this and said, Lord, will thou command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? Now here's the answer, folks. Get real. I wouldn't use that language. But if I ain't careful, I can have those kind of thoughts. And I ain't talking about just totally killing or consume somebody, but I can get pretty annoyed with the whole human thing sometimes. I can get pretty annoyed with the lack of good information and lies and all this stuff till I can get to the same. Lord, just put smack down on them. Really? Lord, in this thing, let's leave that to the Lord. But I'll tell you this, it wasn't his mission at all. So he even says to them, and he's calibrating James and John. Because in their minds and life, that would have been a totally acceptable way of being able to deal with people. And now instead of it being a heart matter to people, it's just going to plain be a fear thing. And if you don't accept Jesus into your village, the fire's going to get you. So when he comes, you better straighten up. When he goes, you can act like a heathen. But while he's here, that's not ever what the Lord's mind was for any of it. And there's no reason for me to go around straightening everybody out about their life if I can't change their heart. What's my mission? To bring the Lord to them who can change their heart. The Lord, give them the desire. Change the things in their life. I don't rule the universe. The Lord does. We can put all the heavy-handed rules we want to, but you can't change somebody's heart. You needn't try. But the Lord says to them there, We'll bring fire down as Elias did. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. Plain and simple. He didn't come to destroy men's lives. He came to save us. Oh, Lord, help us in our mission to one another. Because most of our transactions are between us. I mean, but for whatever they're worth, wherever they're at, that I can take on a certain amount of responsibility to the gospel for you. That I am careful with the way I say things. Because it can change your eternity. It's my cause, my purpose to be encouraging, to reach out. And that means so if you do something that I don't like, then I got the right to call down fire. I got the right to change something by that. Well, there's wisdom involved in everything, and stepping back might be it sometimes. I don't know, but whatever's best. That the heart that we have is that I want them to be saved. I want them to be saved. It's the only thing that the Lord did. I can't imagine the Lord going and looking at the most convicted murderers, killers, and all that. I can't imagine him walking through there and wanting to bring fire down. I think he knows what his grace can do. I think he knows what he can do if he can get them to turn, that they can make a scene out of him. But what about my spirit? Well, now you speak so bad as I know the whole thing about offending one of these little ones in the millstone and be better and all. That's true, and that's why I don't want that to happen to them. I don't want those people that causes the problems and do that. I don't want them to be lost. Jesus didn't want them to be lost. And so this is the mission. It's a war. It is a war. It is a battle. It's a battle to keep our focus and our calibration right and to keep it right. And sometimes you get out of time with things. And my wife bought me this light, and I was just playing with it. I don't even know what it's for, but it has these different settings on the light. And one of the light settings, flashes like, and even the color of it and everything, it looked like, when I done it, I said, wow, that looks like an old-timing light. And do they time cars anymore, Brother Dan? I don't even know if they time. I never heard of that. But it was an old thing that my dad would take that time and light, and he'd on that distributor, and he timed that time, you know, Brother Robert timed that old car. And sometimes you get out of time, you don't run right. You have to be put back in to sync, for it all to fire in the right order. And sometimes we get out of order with these things, and we lose the goal that the Lord wants us to have. And right, sometimes when it's crucial, I wonder if we could open up and see the spiritual sometimes, how many times that we might be out of that calibration right at a critical time that we should be in it, that we could make such a difference if we stayed there and we had the desire and to do the right thing at the right time. And there's another scripture, familiar scripture, and I'll just pick up some of it, but it's in 1 Samuel 17, and it's one of the most famous Old Testament stories of a little boy named David. And there's been songs sung and stories told, and anyway, it's a famous story of a young guy basically minding his own business. And his daddy tells him to go up and see how his brother's doing. And so he goes up, and you can't, I know, being a young boy, like to throw rocks with a sling, that I know that he was interested in what was going on up there. But he gets up there, and when he gets up there, the Lord's timing is just right, that the Goliath comes out and makes these proclamations about and defiles the armies of Israel and of God of Israel, and if you got a man, send him down here and all that. And David rides up there, and he sees that, and he looks at that, and immediately his heart stirred, because David was calibrated. David was calibrated that the cause of God was bigger than David. He believed, I personally think that David believed the stories that was passed down through Jesse and through his grand, that he believed the story of the Red Sea crossing, and he believed of Gideon, the sword of Gideon. The sword of Gideon. And maybe he got even a stick when he was a little boy and went. One of my boys liked to get a stick, and you see him out in the yard. He'd be by himself, but he'd be out there slaying dragons and all this stuff. And I figured David played the games of youth and all that, but I think he believed that the walls of Jericho fell down. He believed that God was a victorious God, and he was calibrated to that. And he believed the cause of God in this earth. And he got up there, and it was his dispensation to prove that God had a God. And it was a God in Israel, and there was a God of creation. And it was his time to prove it, and he was calibrated to it. And now here comes this thing. What about the other ones? A whole army? The king? All of his court, everybody's up there, and nobody has a cause bigger than them. Nobody in Israel had a cause bigger than them, but this little boy had a cause that was bigger than him. And he says here in this passage, 17 and, oh, let's see, about 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? That's a big question. Somebody answer it. Is there not a cause? All the things that you have taught me, all the things that you've taught me, God's grace is sufficient in every situation. That we're to love our enemies. I've heard that. It's still true. That there is grace for us to be a sinless people living for God. Living for God and doing the right thing. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard all the time. I've heard of a people that loves everybody. Right? And a cause that's bigger than I am. And I've looked and read, not only have I saw it in the scriptures, but I saw it in people's lives. I've lived long enough among the saints to tell you this, that there's people that gave their life and denied the comforts of life and gave themselves to the cause that was bigger than him. I saw Brother Sammons run himself ragged. I saw him come driving in after an all night. He'd drive into Green Bank and get up in the pulpit to preach to a few people that assembled there on a Sunday after wearing himself completely out. He'd get up and go sick to pray for somebody when he said, I know I was sicker than they was. But he gave himself totally and fully to a cause that was bigger than he was. And I remember at Brother Hargrave's funeral, the testimony that was given by one of the sisters there about how he didn't have enough gas money to put gas in his car when they needed help so badly. Brother Herschel got out and drove as far as he could drive, and then he walked the rest of the way there. Why? Because he was calibrated. This ain't about me. It ain't about me. It's about a cause that's bigger than me. And that's what David is saying there. What are we going to let them do? Is this the final chapter that's written about this time and the time of Saul and the time of David that God no longer rules in Israel? Can we have victory in 2026? It's coming fast. Can there still be the same kind of victory? Can we hold on through AI? Do you realize what's happening? You don't hardly know what's up and down anymore. What they can do. I don't know where this would possibly go. The only thing I keep saying is that the Word of God stands true. And that the promise of God's not going to fail. And I can know what I need to know all the way through this. But I'm going to tell you, I believe you're going to have to be calibrated. I think you're going to have to be tight calibrated for the time that's coming ahead of us if we're going to maintain ourselves in this time. But the Lord has it for us. Well, you know the story. Is there not a cause? When he turned to the other ones, can I say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Surely, there's a cause. I'm close enough that I can almost look into the end of my life now. And it don't seem like it adds up to a whole lot to hang on to. But there's a cause bigger than that. There is a cause in this life. And Lord, help us that it is a part of our existence. that I'm calibrated down. Because I don't know what to be able to say where this applies to everyone. But everyone that has a relationship, in that relationship, you should be calibrated to a cause that's bigger than you are. Because relationships are fickle. A lot of times people's lives are fickle. But a cause that's bigger than me. I know Linda and I used to say when we was married, we used to say a lot in our prayers, Lord, help us to stay close to you. That we can stay close to one another. Because the human can't always keep it. But there's a cause. I'm responsible in my life for where God has put me. I like to tell the stories, but we had some chickens, and we hatched these chickens, and I had two of the prettiest roosters. Now, if you don't like chickens, this ain't going to mean much to you, but I kind of like these chickens. And we hatched out the prettiest kind of mixed up chickens. They was white. I had two of the prettiest roosters, and one of them was just my favorite rooster. He was so pretty, and he was just a young rooster, and his tail feathers were different colored, but he was white with a little bit of coloring on his wings and up around his head, and he was the prettiest rooster. And my neighbor has these little dogs. Now, I'm not adverse to dogs, but these little dogs are, they're just little dogs, but they're not, what they're made for is the destruction of things. These dogs were built for high-energy, hunting dog-type dogs. Well, their dogs get out of their pen when we let our chickens out. And there's a commotion out there one day. And this happened a number of times. It wasn't unique, but this one particular day, there's a commotion, and the neighbor lady's running across the yard, and all this commotion going on, and got the dog stopped, and they only killed one of my chickens. I'll give you one guess. Which chicken they got. My neighbor and his soul is more important than chickens. I can get my heart on all kinds, and don't think I wasn't disappointed. It ain't about disappointed. It's how I react about a cause that's bigger than me, and there's a cause that's bigger than me. And they felt so bad about it that they wanted to give me a gift card. I have a dog too, but he was pinned up. But I had a dog. But she came over with a gift card saying, we'll at least take the gift card. And I said, no, I'm not going to take your gift card. But when my dog gets out and comes over and digs something up, just a scald even. But do you know how many times neighbors over things like that, how much that can cause a friction because they don't have a cause that's bigger than them? A foot of land ain't that important. A chicken's not that important. But I mean, the chicken be dead by now anyway. But Lord, help us to be calibrated back to the mission that the Lord come for. And when he come here, he put the same mission, did he not, on all of his disciples? Didn't his disciples go with the same mission that he had? Didn't they all give their life? Most all of them gave their life. John was the only one, I think, that wasn't actually martyred. But they all gave their last devotion to a cause that was bigger than they are. Let's not get ourselves bent out or get out of shape about it, but accept the Lord's mission in this. This is about souls. Lord, help us to be winners of souls and to look at people from wherever they're at with the best wisdom we can. I don't believe in the sectarian movements. I think there's a lot of bad, false doctrines. Just plain simple to you. I think there is, and I think it hurts people. But it doesn't value me much to make a big, ugly scene about it. The best thing I can do is work within that realms and try to... I say things like, have you ever considered? You know, there's a scripture that says this thing, and I can love them all the way and sit down and eat with them and share and break bread to be able to do it where it's proper. And there's places it's not, but there's places that it is. But the mission that I have, if it's not proper, it's because there's a mission. The reason I wouldn't is because it'd be more harmful, because it ain't about me. It's about the mission that I give myself to. and it's meaningful to me, and I hope this thing goes on many generations after me as full with as much victory as it ever has, and I believe the Lord wants to give it to us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.